We begin Perek Hamish, the fifth chapter in the Rambam, Hilchos Eidos, Laws of Testimony, and Sefer Shoftim, the Book of Judges, where in this paragraph we discuss the laws as they apply to Eid Echad, a singular witness, regarding when there's problems between the witnesses themselves, and also regarding the witness being like a judge. As Rambam gives halacha regarding this halacha of Eid Echad. Ein chaytchen din min adinin, we do not decide any judgment of pi Eid Echad based on the testimony of one witness. Lo din mamnes, lo din pashas. Although in the previous program we said leniency is the monetary law has over that of capital punishment, this is both by monetary law and by capital punishment. Shlomo says in the pasuk at the bottom, lo yokum eid echad be'ish. You cannot have one witness getting up against the man, l'chalavan, l'chalchatas, for any iniquity and for any sin. From tradition they learned, but shekamu l'shvua. So not to take action, but to require him to take an oath, like we explain the laws of the claimant in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. But there's two places that the Torah did believe one witness. But the suspected adulterous woman, that she should not drink the bitter waters, meaning if the husband warned her, what's called kinu, and then she secluded herself afterwards with witnesses, and now she's getting ready to drink the bitter waters to check if she actually defiled herself or not, and then one witness comes along and says, no, you defiled yourself, then she's not going to drink, as Rambam explains in the Chasaita. So to a second place of Egla Rufa, by the decapitated calf, which when you find a dead person somewhere on the road, the closest city has to bring this calf and decapitate it, cut off its head. Shalaita Arif, that it should not be decapitated, like we explained this in Hilchos Tzeach, Perek Tes Halachot Beis, that also if you have one witness saying, then if he says that he saw the murderer, we don't do the Arifa. And B'chemi Devarim, there's a third case also from rabbinic law, Be'edus Isha, regarding the testimony of a woman, Sheyodla Shemez Bala, to testify that her husband died, to allow her to remarry, that's because of Iguna, Hikilu Barabon, the rabbis were lenient to trust that of a one witness. Halacha Gimel, what happens if one of the witnesses is possible? B'chamakam She'edachad Mayal, now wherever one witness is effective, as we just quoted, Ishu possible then a woman or someone who's invalid for testimony from rabbinic law, K'mikimidim, they could also testify, except for the case that we described in Halacha Aleph, that one witness could mandate an oath, that you cannot mandate the defendant an oath, only if it's the testimony of someone who is a valid witness. Let's start from Acha, that would be appropriate that if it was necessary to extract money, we'd be able to combine with another person. And then, he's going to hold the one who's obligated an oath, monetary payments through what he's saying, because that is where the halacha is, that when you say, oh, when it's two, you could extract, when it's one, you'll be a shvua. But that's only because if it could be, unlike a isha and the apostle. Now the pasuk says, al pi shnei eidim, oy al pi shleisha eidim, based on the testimony of two witnesses or three witnesses. What do you mean? Of course, if two work, for sure three work. It's lasa shleisha kishnayim, is telling you that three witnesses should be like two, meaning, mashnayim, just like when you have two witnesses, nimtzeach mem karv apostle. Let's see if I'm one of the two witnesses, a relative, or someone who's invalid for testimony. But la eidis, that nullifies the testimony. Av shleisha, even when there's three. Or vawadim lamei, even if there's 100, if nimtzeach mem karv apostle, one of them from the 100 is a relative apostle, but la eidis, the whole testimony is thrown out, being within the mamans, being the fashion, whether it's regarding capital punishment or whether it's regarding monetary law. Halacha da. Now, when we say this, it's only if all those 100 people had intention to testify. So they're all considered part of the same group of witnesses. But if they did not all have intention to testify, so what should you do when you have two brothers amongst the whole population? Now, everyone saw when this guy in cold blood murdered this guy. When he injured him, he grabbed away an object from his hand and said, oh, in this group of 100, two brothers, and they're kriyvim, they're apostles, so everyone's out the window? No, you don't say that. So, halacha hey. So, the case with Boitkin is, how do you check this out? Meaning, if their intention originally was to testify, then they're all considered, yes, it would invalidate if it's two brothers, or when they were just watching, and therefore they wouldn't invalidate it. So, you do as follows. Kishivoy lebezdin, edem rubin. When we have a large contingency of witnesses who come to the court, kat achas, one group, and let me tell them, look, kishirizim zeh, shaharig oichava, when you saw this guy who murdered or injured, were you coming to testify when you were looking? Or were you just coming like gawking and seeing what's happening? So Komish Amoeva says, I wasn't coming to testify on him. I was just watching what was happening. I was just part of the masses, the herd. So my friend and I say, we separate him. Komish Amoeva says, I was only standing there at Lahoid. I wanted to testify. And to be precise regarding the testimony, then my friend and I say, we separate him to a different group. If we find in the group that had intended to testify, Karv apostle, a relative of one of the litigants, or someone who's invalid, then Eidos Kulam B'Teilim, then all the testimony is going to be valid. It's all going to be thrown out. Now, when we say this, that it's going to nullify all of the testimony is Kashari ben Karav Apostle. If one of them was a relative or someone is invalid. Let's say all of them were valid, then actually, meaning all of them, even those whether that intended or didn't attend, we say when separating them, if you have one of them Karav Apostle. Let's say all Kashar. So that whether he had in mind to testify, maybe he didn't even have intention to testify. But since he ultimately did see what happened, and he's precise in what he's testifying, and the guy, the perpetrator was warned, then we actually will decide the judgment based on what he's saying, even though his original intention was not to be aid, whether regarding capital punishment or regarding monetary payment, because ultimately he was a valid witness. It's just that we wanted to say regarding, is it going to inherently invalidate the rest by just being a brother or something like that? If you had a document that had many witnesses signed in it, one of the witnesses turns out to be a relative of one of the litigants or someone who's invalid to be an aide. Or let's say two of the witnesses were actually related to each other, which also invalidates the testimony. Now, the witnesses are not around to ask them, well, did they have intention to testify? Were they just filling up the empty space in the document but not really coming to testify? So they're not there. We can't ask them. So im yeshem edes beruda. So if there's a clear testimony, shekulim yeshalachtam, that all the witnesses who sat down when they wrote, their intention was to sign, shutting the skabim lohoy because they intended to actually testify. Okay, here's a button. Let's go nullify the document. You have two relatives. But vla, but if let's say we don't have clear-cut proof that that was their intention, then tiskaima edes b'shar, we can actually validate the testimony with the rest of the witnesses, not with the one that's possible. Now the question is, why do we validate the testimony with the rest? But what do you mean? The fact that they signed should tell us. Obviously, their intention was to testify. No, it's not true. It's possible that the kosher ones had signed, and they had left space. And this is a chiddush, as Rambam says in the next halacha. They left space for the greater one to sign before them. Now, what happened was, it was the Hakar by Apostle. Now, the relative or the one who was invalid came along and maybe even did it deceptively. And he signed it without their awareness. So that's not the same testimony. It's some other testimony, and they don't have the ability to invalidate the kosher ones because they signed independently of what he's doing. They actually only left it open for someone else, which he quickly grabbed that spot. As Rambam tells Halacha Zayin, where he explains, even if the witness that's originally that signed early in the document, who apostle is an invalid one, so you would say, oh, of course they knew and they're doing it together. No. We're saying the document is valid, like we just said in the end of the previous halacha. Maybe they signed later to leave a space for a gadol, and then this guy went and grabbed that spot. And therefore, we would say, okay, you're not good, but we're going to verify it based on the other valid witnesses. Halacha Ches continues regarding that the witness is not permitted to make any claims regarding this court case. So call a shahid bedin nefashas, any witness who testifies regarding a capital punishment case, in the moira bedin zehanerik, he cannot rule, he cannot be a judge with this judgment of the one who's being executed. But leilamad lav leischus lechayv, he cannot be a lawyer, cannot try to find defense for him or prosecution for him. Now, b'mama, let's say he says yesh leilamad lav leischus, but I have a merit to save him. Meshaskin, I say we silence him. Krishnam the pasuk says ma'midber ve'eid echel lo yana b'nefesh lamus, and the one witness will not be able to answer anything regarding a life to execute. Meaning, bein l'schus, bein l'chayva, whether they're merit or are demerit. Now, why does it say to kill? It sounds like it's telling us that specifically if it's something that's going to bring him a liability to execute. No, klema, what it means to say is, eid shehid b'nefesh lamas, any witness who had testified regarding a person to execute for a capital punishment case, l'yan adab, he cannot respond now anything, rather he testifies, and he has to be quiet, because it looks like as if he's biased with his testimony, because he might have regretted, and he's worried maybe that he's going to, the guy's verdict is going to come down that he's supposed to be executed, and then the defendant is going to bring witnesses to do hazam on him, and he cannot back out anymore, because he already testified. So that's what we're saying, that no, you can't say anything. But in the moments regarding monetary case, yesh l'lamad l'b'schus l'chayv, he could teach something regarding merit or against the person. But he cannot, the witness cannot be counted with the judges. And he cannot become a judge. Because a witness cannot become a judge even regarding monetary cases. Halacha tes. But when do we say this, that the witness cannot become a judge? That's something that needs witnesses from biblical law. And also, biblically, you need to have judges to adjudicate such a case, like, for example, Kiddush HaChidush, which only with witnesses and judges. But regarding something that only requires it from rabbinic law, then the witness could become a judge. How so? So, someone brings the divorce document from the husband to the woman. He says, oh, in front of me, it was written in front of me, it was signed, which the Chum required that to verify regarding the authenticity of the get, and that actually validates it. But that's from rabbinic law. Hu ushnaim, so then this person with another two that can combine with him to be a bezin of three people to verify the get, noisnim oisir law, they can give it to her. It's like as if she took it from the bezin, even though he was the aid, he could become the dain because he was only aid from rabbinic law. And therefore, you could say, something like that is going to have the same halacha.